day, right around this time, it's your Cinco de Luncho.
Sean Moraes in the booth, somebody hide the queso. Optics flying, phones ringing, Evans yelling,
no!
Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking, nobody's in control. It's Cinco de Luncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
Cinco de Luncho is, of course, brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, it's the Tuesday after the NFL season. I guess we call it, whatever, Purple Tuesday at this point. The top five figureheads New York football fans should be most pissed at after the season.
The top five figureheads?
Yeah, people. Figureheads, okay. Whatever.
All right, go ahead.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
I don't care that you're already fired. Shane Bowen, you useless defensive coordinator turd. The Giants, I want to take us back to August. Look at all this defensive talent. Look what they added in the secondary. Look at their pass rush. And their defense was one of the worst in football, and they blew all those fourth quarter leads. I don't care. He's been fired for weeks. He's still in the top five. Shane Bowen ruined the season.
It's all Brian Daboll's fault. Let's go back 2 years when the Wink Martindale-Brian Daboll breakup occurred. There were reports that no one wanted the job, and they ended up with Shane Bowen, and he did a terrible job for the year and a half he was here.
That's a shame. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Aaron Glenn, the tough guy act, killed him this year. Oh, ask Rich Shemini about the quarterback. It was just a terrible approach all year that if we came to the end of the year and they were getting their doors blown off, maybe we'd have some leniency in his first year. But I truthfully believe, even as bad as it went, we wouldn't be screaming and yelling about should he survive, should he be one of them, as hard as we were, if we got an early better taste of him.
I can't say you're wrong. I just disagree with it. Like,
okay.
It doesn't change my view. My view on Aaron Glenn is the football view, which is that it was terrible. I mean, I admit, I come on the radio, I'm one of the few guys around here who still wants him to have a job, and it's more based on kind of the nature of going one and done and trusting Woody Johnson and Darren Mooji to like start over after 1 year in which you traded two of your best defensive players in the middle of the year. I admit, like, my argument for Aaron Glenn has very little to do with Aaron Glenn, but I don't think it's fair to use his handling of the media and his tough guy act as a strike against him.
Okay, here we go.
Number three.
It's Joe Shane, somehow not number one. Does he even listen to his own beliefs about learning from mistakes? How about the guaranteed money to Russell Wilson, to James Hudson? Not exactly completely getting everything out of your third-round pick, Darius Alexander, although stock up on him. This wasn't a great offseason for Joe Shane, and it proved it. Here we are with another crappy year with a crappy record, and the guy's sticking around.
Yeah, he's got moves that are really good, but he's also got a lot of bad ones.
Brian
Burns was an awesome move.
How about Graham Gano was still the kicker on this team?
Okay.
Here we go.
Number two.
Jets ownership. The biggest reason Aaron Glenn was the guy to begin with, and also simultaneously can't be fired after 1 year, is how unappealing the Johnsons have made the Jets as a job.
It's a huge part of it. And it's just the failures of the last decade and a half. It's not just Woody Johnson having a horrible reputation as owner. It's the results.
Yeah, no doubt. And here we go.
Number one.
Giant ownership. And I'm obviously sympathetic for what is going on over there with the New York Giants and Mr. Mara. But Joe Shane staying is just, I can't wrap my head around how unacceptable that is to a Giant fan base that has been as patient and as trustworthy with this organization as can be. And I think I speak for a lot of Giant fans. I know Tiki and I disagreed with each other on this. The idea that Joe Shane is sticking around. Now, it could work out. They could get Ryan Poles, and we'll all have egg on our face. I think it's a disgrace to Giant fans that they're returning the general manager, and I think that's who you should be most pissed at here following the season.
There you go. Very good list. Every day, right around this time, your Cinco de Luncho. Back in the middle of November, right at the beginning of MLB free agency, we all played a game of MLB free agency bingo where we guessed where all the top free agents would go. We do have an update. Munetaka Murakami, a couple weeks ago, signed with the Chicago White Sox. I'm curious, because it's been a while. Did any of us predict Murakami to the Chicago White Sox? Let's go to our prediction desk with Connor Green. Who should we start off with, Connor?
Let's start off with you, Evan. How about
that? All right, let's go. Evan Roberts. All right, I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners. I was wrong. Who's next?
Let's do Tiki.
Dodgers.
Yeah, he was wrong. Who's next?
We have Tommy Lugauer.
I'm going to go Seattle. I think Josh Naylor leaves, and that's the replacement.
Copying my idea. That's okay.
And then last but not least, Sean.
Angels.
Wow. So we all got it wrong. Munetaka Murakami signed with the Chicago White Sox. But what really jumped out at me over the weekend, and I briefly want to hit on this because this is annoying me as the days have gone on, is that Kazuma Okamoto signed a contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. I am very uncertain about a guy coming from Japan because what do I know about him other than looking at Baseball Reference? Okamoto made so much freaking sense for both the Mets and the Yankees. He is a right-handed hitting first baseman, third baseman, who's known to be a good defender, who put up awesome numbers in Japan, hits for power, doesn't strike out a lot. He seems perfect. The Yankees have a third baseman in Ryan McMahon who can't hit lefties.
Uh-huh.
They have a first baseman in Ben Rice who's going to get the opportunity to play all the time. Having a guy like Okamoto would have been perfect. Where were the Yankees? Where were the Mets? They still don't have a real first baseman on this roster. Brett Beatty had a good couple of months, but we can't be so sure of him at third base. And then when you see what he signed for, a very reasonable four-year, $60 million contract, I don't want to scream, and hopefully I'm not screaming, so I'm going to lower my voice, because at the end of the day, I don't know what this player will be. I just know what he's described as. And what he's described as is a perfect fit for either team. And neither team showed interest, and I can't figure out why.
The only thing I could guess is, maybe this is different from the Met perspective, although the Mets feel like they've tightened the wallets this offseason too. They're afraid if they only have so much money to spend internally of making a mistake on an unknown. That's the only thing I could wrap my head around. That they don't know, their scouts don't know, so why go the extra mile if it's not bottomless pockets for the Yankees and Mets?
Well, I mean, but one of the moves they made is the unknown of Devin Williams being able to replace Edwin Diaz. Another unknown move they made
Hold on. They didn't make that move, we don't think, thinking he was replacing Edwin Diaz.
Well, they ended up doing it.
And then they backed it up by getting Luke Weaver, who's probably going to replace Devin Williams.
We'll see. And also Jorge Polanco, who's a nice little player, but he's not a first baseman. He's never played first base. So they've done plenty of unknowns so far during the offseason. And by the way, I got an email, and I'll read it more on the Rico from a Met fan who says, Evan, you're the biggest shill ever on the Mets.
All right.
You've softened on your anger. And what I want to explain very calmly, and I think you're going to understand this more than anybody, is I'm still pissed. I am still massively disappointed about what's happened this offseason. But what I do, because I think it's healthy and it's just the right thing to do, is after I scream and yell and I get it off my chest, I live with the fact that this is the team. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it. Doesn't mean I'm rationalizing about it. But I'm no longer going to just freak out every time we talk about Pete Alonso. Now, Joe can't do that. And I respect the hell out of Joe. But you hear it. Like every time he comes on, and I respect him. It's why we're different. He's just, it goes back. Can you believe Starbuck? I'm pissed too. But I also realize that at some point I just have to live with it. And I've learned this over about you for the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You may not want Mike McCarthy. I'll use him as an example. If they hire him and we go a day or two of you explaining why you didn't want him, by day three, he's the head coach.
That's what it is.
So yeah. I say this to him or anyone else. I just think this is the way we have to act as sports fans. In fact, I'll quote Craig, who's on later today at 2. He always said, you scream and yell, and then you hope for the best.
Yes.
When they hire someone you don't want. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, I wanted Edwin Diaz back. I don't want Devin Williams to replace him. I don't want Jorge Polanco playing first base. I didn't want any of this stuff. But I'm going to hope I'm wrong.
Well, you hit on it. And I've had to learn this the hard way over the years. Probably when I got a microphone in front of my face and you realize everything is on tape that you say. God, all of you listening, all of us here, we are wrong more than we're right, whether we want to admit it or not, when it comes to sports decisions and teams. And all you can hope for when you're mad at your teams about certain decisions is that is one of those instances. Because what are you going to do? You're going to boycott the Mets the next 4 years until Alonso's
No.
Time? Of course not. So you hope that they nailed it and they figured this out and they're on the right track. And that's all you can do. You got to hope you're wrong in your anger.
I'm going to tell you something that is fascinating to me. And I'm kind of confused by it. As a Met fan, and I'll bring the Yankees involved as well, I received an email about 20 minutes ago with the current 2026 MLB win total over-unders.
They came
out? As of right now. Obviously, a lot can change in the offseason. To give you a perspective, last year the Yankees over-under was 93.5. As things stand right now, what do you think their over-under is?
Well, they can't have it higher with no Bellinger, and I'm going to go 89.5.
No, it's the exact same thing, 93.5. Which I find odd.
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly the same.
Not going to start the month with healthy pitching.
Now, let's get to the Mets, because I think that's even more interesting. Last year, the Mets over-under was 91.5. Considering all that they've lost, what do you think their over-under is? And remember, they also won 82 games, 83 games last year?
87.5.
Yeah, you're right. It's 86.5. Why is it that high? 86.5? So they have the Mets winning more games than last year. Meanwhile, their roster I think we'd all agree, has gotten significantly worse.
Ken, you're not allowed to reveal the book that it's on?
Yeah, I can reveal. I apologize. Let's see the email. From Jimmy Shapiro, good guy. Jimmy's courtesy of betonline.ag. Okay. Right. Please mention us when mentioning these. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, I think, is a useful website for gamblers. A lot of it can be done offshore, and therefore the numbers can get a little kooky early. The full books in Vegas have not been set yet.
Okay, so you're saying these numbers are fugazi?
Yeah, now they might be close to what you normally get, but most of the...
86.5.
A lot of those books are probably going to release them in late January.
I'm going to play a game with every Met fan right now. Yankee fans are complicated, but I'll do it with both of you. All of you guys. And answer this on your own. We're not going to take calls about it. We got plenty of time to talk about it. Just answer it in your own head on January 6th. Would you be okay with an 86-win season if you're a Met fan? And as a Yankee fan, would you be okay with a 93-win season? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but based on the current roster of the New York Mets, the answer is yes. I have a sign for that. What a loser I am.
Okay, so my answer is yes for both teams, but like last year, we would have been thrilled with 93-86 based on how the league shook out. Mm-hmm. You also got to tell me what everybody else around
86, I don't think gets you in, Sean. Like, there's no... It would have last year, but it wouldn't have the year before.
I should rephrase that. I mean that more for the Yankees with 93. Like, we didn't get a 100-win team in the American League last year, so 93 would shine a little more. You know, 93 wins, if the Blue Jays are winning 101 and the Red Sox are winning 99, you're not going to love it. That's all.
No, it is definitely based on everybody else. I mean, like, the Mets are a great example, and the Yankees, too, but the Mets last year, 86 is enough. The year before, 86 is short.
Sure.
So it depends on the year. Back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Eddie is in Rockland. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Evan, one thing on the Giants, but before that, a day-old donut-eating contest, Mirage or C-Mac? Who's your money on?
Sean, he's very aggressive when he gets competitive. I'll go with Sean Mirage.
Like a pit bull, right?
He's fat! Yeah, like a pit bull. I agree with that. Good assessment.
Chris takes his time. I just breathe it all.
Chris enjoys something he likes. Sean just breathes it down his throat.
Me and my wife once got in and out of an Applebee's 3 courses, 19 minutes. Hand to God.
I saw a belly.
All right.
What else you got, Eddie?
On the Giants, you talk about all the big names, but if they're keeping Shane and you're a big name coach, isn't your reputation, why would you want to connect your reputation to Shane?
Because I think the big name is going to run the show. That's my interpretation. And if that's not the case and they're not interested, then clearly it is a huge mistake keeping Joe Shane. But my understanding would be Mike Tomlin would basically take the job and laugh at Joe. I'd be like, okay, Joe, you work for me.
Right.
That's how I would take it.
I tell you what to do.
Yeah. Let's go to Jonathan in Long Beach. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Talking about the Giants head coach, I think one name that people aren't talking about enough is Kevin Stefanski, who just got fired from the Browns. I mean, the guy's a former coach of the year. If you see what he's dealt with the last few years, you can't really blame him for how they've been playing. And I think the Browns were completely wrong for firing him. And if Joe Shane wants to save his job, I think you got to look at Kevin Stefanski as number one.
Well, it's interesting, Jonathan. And Sean's freaking out. Sean's got to learn radio, okay? We've been on for 2.5 hours. Sean didn't listen at 10 a.m. But what I would advise you is at the top of the show, and you can rewind on the Odyssey app, Sean and I had a little bit of a debate on Kevin Stefanski. To Sean, that's the guy. That's like his dream hire. To me, I'm lukewarm about it. Like, I have reservations. The fact that he has stripped himself of play calling the last 2 years, the fact that the offensive numbers were as bad as they were, the fact that Baker Mayfield regressed, the fact that his record over the last 2 years is awful. Like, I don't think he's a horrible hire, but it doesn't jump out at me the way it does Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And you love him.
I do love him. And this isn't about how radio works. I'm just going to say this, Evan. If your take is somebody that nobody's really talking about, I'm okay if you didn't hear the beginning of the show and the turn's over. Here's what I'm not okay with.
Oh, God.
Every single Giants reporter online has tweeted in the last 12 hours about Stefanski. We started the show about Stefanski. Boomer and Gio talked about Stefanski. Any Giant podcast, I do half of them that exist, talked about Stefanski.
Sean, you're not being fair.
No.
A lot of people have lives. They're not listening to every second of this radio station.
I'm fine
with being
that.
On Twitter constantly.
You're misunderstanding. That's fine, but then you
don't say no.
You can't say nobody's talking about it because you're not anywhere where anybody's talking about Giant football.
I know, but no one's talking about it is just a phrase. We don't have to take
just
it
say,
literal.
Hey, I'm not sure if this has been mentioned anywhere, but Kevin Stefanski. And we answer the question. We'll reset what we did at 10. Everybody's talking about Stefanski.
I know,
Stefanski.
But you get so annoyed by that. It's a phrasing.
It's
a phrasing. Yeah, I mean, look, we all use these crutch phrases. like, can I ask you something? Or yeah. I'll be honest with you. Those are a couple of things I do, and I always try to cut it out. I do it, unfortunately. Yeah. You do it, too. And I think no one's talking about is just a crutch phrase.
You're right.
So don't attack the guy.
I need the
guy. He took time out of his day to call up Sports Talk Radio and give an opinion on a coach that you also want to hire.
And I guess that's what would be the point. I know I've been talking about Kevin Stefanski for a month on 15 different platforms. So people are talking about it.
Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
What's up, Chris?
Good. Listen, first I got a morass story, and then I got a giant point. But I just want to say my son and his buddies went to the Ranger Island game, and they ran into morass, and they said he was a first-class guy.
How about that?
You know, didn't big league anybody, gave him the time of day, talked to him. Good Ranger hockey stuff. So he's got to get credit for that.
Appreciate it.
Not surprised when I heard about it, but anyways, baseball guy, and that's how we roll.
I'm
but anyway,
South Shore trash, Chris, is as rich as they come.
You're talking to another one. There you go. Anyway, so I was curious to see after Black Monday who you guys think is the front runner for the Giant job. I still say if I had my druthers, I would go with Harbaugh if he was available, but he's really not available. So based on the six guys or whatever. Guys that became available, who would your each individual front runners be, and how feasible is that?
Without those guys who are available.
Now, think about this. His question, just to again reinforce it, is not who you would hire.
Uh-huh.
It's who you think the Giants would hire. Because those are two very different things, as we all know.
Yeah.
So based on who's available, and we actually did this as one of our show long-term predictions. Right after they fired Brian Daboll, I went around the room and said, who do you think they're going to hire? Now, I have the list right in front of me. It was on 11-11, November 11th.
Okay.
I went around the room and said, this is not who you're endorsing. This is who you think they're going to hire. And I'm going to remind you who all of us said.
I know who I said.
Do you remember who you said?
I do, because I think he still would be top five on my list on who I think they would hire.
Go ahead.
Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce, who is... I've read, I think we all have, is going to get an interview.
Right.
Tommy Lugauer, still a part of our station, if not our show, said Cliff Kingsbury, which I think is still very much alive.
Yeah.
Tiki predicted, even though he doesn't want the guy, Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And my prediction was Lou Anarumo. I think all of those guys are still distinct possibilities to be the next head coach of the New York Giants.
I would agree.
You're standing by what you said in November, that if you had to guess, like it's all on the line for you. You think at the end of the day, Antonio Pierce is the head coach?
No, I don't.
So who is it?
Now, again, I am hard subject to change. If Harbaugh or Tomlin become available, scrap this from the record.
But that's not the question is who do you think? So if you think Mike Tomlin's going to become available, say Mike Tomlin.
I don't think they're going to become available right now. I thought Harbaugh, I don't. So right now, I think I would be stunned if Kevin Stefanski is not the Giants coach.
Kind of lean that way.
Stunt.
Kind of lean that way. Just on his availability, offensive-minded, it seems to fit. But I don't want to move away from my Lou Anarumo prediction.
Yeah. Well, I think that's right up there. I think he's going to be a finalist, Lou.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Evan?
Yo.
So happy you guys are on during the day to listen to you more. If I was the Giants, you're going to think I'm crazy, and I'm a Jet fan, I would be on the phone with Rex Ryan right now.
As the head coach of the team or as a defensive coordinator?
As the head coach of the New York Giants.
I am so mixed, Mike, because there's a part of me that would want to see it happen. Because there are so many Giant fans, Sean being one of them, that was so arrogant and dismissive and hateful towards Rex Ryan and his successful era as Jets head coach. So there's a part of me that would want to see them have to kind of come up with, oh, I like Rex. But then the other part of me as a Jet fan, it would kill me if he had success with the Giants.
Which is kind
of
why I'm interested.
Am I willing to risk the pain for the potential glory?
Not even in the top five of who I would hire, but that's one you could talk me into a frenzy of real quickly if he got near the finalist job.
Talk me into a frenzy as in being upset or being excited?
Being excited.
Really?
And in hindsight, I look back at how much...
No way.
Time is allowed to mend and change things, right? I look back at last year where we mocked the Jets about talking to him, and we see the year that Aaron Glenn had, and I look back and I go, Rex Ryan would have been the right hire for the Jets last year. I actually believe that. I think him coming back...
Yeah, I mean, looking at it now...
I think he would have been hungry.
Couldn't have been worse.
Now, look, I don't think you're... And this is kind of where I'm going to be hypocritical. Remember, I said I think Mike McCarthy's a guy who lasts 3 years. I don't think Rex Ryan's lasted a decade, which is a big flaw here. But I think a team, if you believe the roster is as close as it is... I think Rex sitting on the sidelines as long as he had, I think he'd be hungry. I think the defense would be after it. And I do think he has enough NFL connections to hire the right staff. I'd be more into it than you think.
Let's go to Vinny in Tom's River. What's going on, Vinny?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Question. I know what the Knicks are losing these days. The Nets.
Who?
What's your interest in Trae Young?
Okay, are you asking this to me as a Knicks fan out of curiosity, or are you a Brooklyn Nets fan as well out of curiosity?
I am a Brooklyn Nets fan, and what about Cam Thomas for Trae Young and throwing the pick?
Well, hold on. See, this is the whole key to this.
The Nets still in the league?
I don't love Trae Young, and I don't love building around Trae Young at 27 years old making $45 million a year. If you are telling me that I'm getting Trae Young the way they got Michael Porter, which is I'm getting a pick, mm-hmm. I'm taking on the contract, fine. Let me see how it works with my young players. But I don't think that's the way this trade market's going to work. I think Trae Young is still valuable. I think a team like the Wizards will give up assets for him. And my answer is no. I am not interested in using my treasure trove of assets in acquiring Trae Young. The guy I'd be more intrigued by is Ja Morant. And I know he's got his off-the-court questions.
Yeah.
But that would be the reclamation project, if you will, that I would have more interest in than Trae Young.
Would you have more interest in Trae Young if you knew the Nets had a top three pick next year and this was at this time next year?
Nah. I'm
like, if they've added whoever we think the foundation
piece is going to be. I'm soured on him, honestly. I really have.
All right. I think that we're a year off in the timeline and if I'd be interested.
The thing that would be fun is I think Knicks fans would enjoy it. Like, they would enjoy the Nets, who are so irrelevant right now.
Hapless Nets.
Like, having them bring in a player that you guys hate would just make it, it'd be fun fodder. That's all it would be. Like, you guys wouldn't be scared of us, but it would be like, oh, yeah, I hate the Nets. Because right now, no one hates the Nets. But I think Trae Young being there and being his Trae Young self would cause like a, oh, yeah, I hate those guys.
Trae Young would be at restaurants and clubs in New York City getting badmouthed in his own town.
I understand.
Be incredible.
Yes, it would be kind of funny is what you're saying. But I'm not interested. Alan in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I wanted to piggyback off that Ja Morant to the Nets. I wouldn't even do that because his health has been a problem for the past couple of years now. So.
I know, but he's got such superstar potential in him. He's still only 26 years old. Like, I don't know, man. I would do it. I'm not saying I'm trading all my treasure trove of picks. I'm still intoxicated by the potential of Ja Morant more so than Trae Young. That's just me.
Yeah, at one point I thought he was actually going to be the next face of the league until, of course, the off the court issues.
But that's the other thing I wonder about, Alan. Like, I think a change of scenery could help him. And I know, is Brooklyn the right change of scenery? Look, the Nets are not. You know what they are. Like, they're the little team.
But it's New York City.
I know, but there'd be no attention on them.
The hapless Nets.
The guy's got a background with, like, guns.
I know. I guess I don't make sense. The truth is the Nets should not be trading for superstars. The only one that, like, if Anthony Edwards becomes available, let's go. Let's cook.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's not happening.
Tell you something.
Not yet, at least.
What? Anthony Edwards comes to a team that plays on the Yes Network, we could retire A-Rod's number once and for all with owning Minnesota.
There you go. Let's go to Tyler on Long Island. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going? Good. I just wanted to come on here and say that I think that the New York Jets might be the worst franchise in all of sports.
They are. Take the might be away. They are the worst franchise in all of sports right now. Take the might be away.
Yes, I don't think that's ridiculous. I mean, my whole life, I'm 17 years old. My whole life, they have never been good.
May I ask you a question? Never. Why aren't you in school right now if you're 17 years old? What's going on?
I get out early. I'm a senior. I get out early.
In the new
Tyler, what school do you go to?
I go to St. Jim East.
A fraud and a complete liar.
St. Jim East and North do not get out in the new era. Wendy's.
Oh, you know Bo. No, we do. We get out.
No, you don't. My cousin played DN for St. Jim East. He went till 2.
I leave after 7:30.
Tyler, you're at the Wendy's by Island 16. I know you are.
Tyler,
right now.
Senior year doesn't count. Keep cutting, baby.
I'm at the Chipotle, but you're closed.
I knew it.
It was nailed where these guys are. Hey, good for them, man. I remember being a senior. I cut all the time. I did. It didn't even matter.
I did, too. I had 3 lunch periods in you.
Of course. It was unbelievable. I took Japanese my senior year. Like, I really got creative. I took a lot of, like, you know, lunches like you did. I missed a bunch of classes, but I took Japanese.
Did you retain any words?
I think I can still count to 10.
Count us into break to 10.
Ichi, ni, ku. Damn it. Ichi Niku Ju. Ah, damn it. I can only get to like five.
Okay, so don't fulfill.
I thought I did. I
don't give
I could...
me promises you can't
Look,
fulfill.
There are certain things I've retained. Like, I'll give you an example. I still know the capital of every state in the United States of America. Well, try this one. This one will impress you. And that's from earlier in my life. I was in fifth grade.
This is so demeaning.
I'll never forget it. And I still know every capital.
Utah.
Salt Lake City.
Salt? How boring of Utah. Salt
Keep
Lake
going. Come on. Speed it up.
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Arkansas.
Little Rock.
New Hampshire.
Concord.
Vermont.
Montpelier.
I'm a loser.
West Virginia.
Charleston.
Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
New York.
Albany.
New Jersey.
Trenton. You got so dumb you started asking me the easy ones?
I forgot the rest of the stuff.
But I think I'm right. I mean, I learned this in the fifth grade, and I'll never forget we had a competition where it was my class versus another class, and a kid would stand up against another kid. They would name a state. First person to name it would win. The loser would get eliminated. So it would be like an elimination tournament. Mm-hmm. It came down to five people in the other class, and I was the last one standing. And
I'm a loser.
Them all off one by one until I got, I'll never forget her name. I'll give her a shout out. She's probably out there. Lizette.
Lizette.
That damn Lizette.
It's a hot name.
Okay. It was Ohio. And I got tripped up for a split freaking second.
Columbus, man.
I was about to say Columbia, which is South Carolina. And the trip up for a second got Lizette the victory. I was about to pull off like this all-timer. And yeah.
Do you think Lizette remembers that?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I mean, she kind of has a unique name, so that it could get back to her. Now, it's very possible.
I'm a loser.
I hope for your sake it doesn't. Because if she's moved on with her life years later and doesn't remember that, it's going to make you look like a sad man.
In fairness to her, what was she there to gain? Like, a bunch of her classmates just blew the lead. So for her, it was like, I just got a victory. I was the one pulling off the miracle comeback. I was the one down 3-0 forcing a seventh game. Are you celebrating the team that holds on to the 3-0 lead?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think she's got anything to be excited about.
A win's a win.
Yeah, but it's different than what I did. I was, dude.
You don't think
the
Celtics celebrate when they held on to beat the Heat?
Come on. No, not really. Did you see the way I pelted each person off? It's 5-1. Gone, 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 gone. I'm just getting rid of them.
It's the dorkiest thing to care about winning.
I know. I wanted that, man.
I could see.
Now, speaking of the Jets, our last caller, that 17-year-old Cutting, said the Jets are the worst team in all of sports. When we come back, we're going to give the Jets a new opportunity. We will hear from Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn. They have recently met the media. They are going to tell us the state of the Jets, what their plans are, and we'll see if it makes us feel any better. It is Evan and Tiki featuring Sean Morash.